Okay, good morning. Thank you very much for coming. Today is the final, really only half an amud or so of Masechet Tanis. Masechet Tanis is considered the easiest Masechta in Shas. The next Masechta is also quite easy, Maseches Megillah. So anyone who knows of somebody who might be willing to join us, it's just about a month. What a great thing to learn Maseches Megillah. All right, let's start again on Lamed Amud Beis at the two dots, the end of the Mishnayos of Masechet Tanis. Discuss the two very, very happy days. If we go back to the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek, the Mishnah said that Lohayu Amar Rabban Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel said, Lohayu Yom Tovim LiYisrael, there were no more happy days for the Jews. Kechamisha Asar Ba'av, like the 15th of Av, Uchiyom HaKippurim, and like Yom Kippur. Shabahan Benos Yerushalayim Yotzos B'Klei Lavan She'ulin. On these 2 days, on Yom Kippur and on the 15th of Av, the young women of Yerushalayim would go out wearing borrowed white garments. Why borrowed? So that they don't embarrass. People don't have their own dresses and they have to borrow. Everybody's borrowing. All the different garments would have to first go into the mikvah. That was the norm. Everybody put it in the mikvah. Who knew what was done with it before? I'm wearing it. And the daughters of Jerusalem would go out and they would dance in circles. Cholos is from the word machol, a round circle in the vineyards. What would they say? So they would say, if they were beautiful, Bachur, young man, Sana Einechur, E Ma'ata Borer Lach. Lift up your eyes and see what you're choosing. Right? I'm very beautiful. So choose a beautiful wife. Those who weren't so beautiful would say, Al Titein Einecha Benoi, Tein Einecha B'Mishpacha. Don't pay attention to beauty. Look at family, because a wife is to create a family. And those who didn't have such great families would say, don't even look at beauty, don't even look at family. Just look at Yirat Shamayim, look at character. As the Pasuk says, Sheker Achein, Vehevel Ayofi, false is charm, empty is beauty. Isha Yiras Hashem, a woman who fears God, Hitis Halal, she's the one who is praised. Omer, and the verse says further, Tznu Lami Priyadeh, give her from the handiwork of her hands, V'yihaluah v'sharei ma'aseh, and they will praise her in the gates. And then the Mishnah ends with, V'cheinu Omer, and the verse also says, Tzenu re'enu b'nos Tzion, go out and see daughters of Zion, daughters of Jerusalem, v'melech Shlomo, go look at King Shlomo, v'atarashi trelo imo, look at the crown that his mother made for him, V'yom chasunaso, the day of his wedding, V'yom simchas libo, the day when his heart is happy. V'yom chasunaso, zematan Torah, the day of his wedding is the day of the giving of the Torah. V'yom simchas libo, the day when his heart is happy, is binyan beis hamikdash, is when the beis hamikdash will be rebuilt, sheyibaneh b'meher b'yameinu, will be rebuilt speedily in our days. So that's the end of the Mishnah. So now going to the Gemara here on Lamed Amud Beis. Amr Shimon Gamliel said, Lohay Yom Tovim Yisrael Kachamisha Asubavach Yom Kippurim. There were no more happier days for the Jewish community than the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur. This is when the daughters of Jerusalem go out wearing white dresses that were borrowed and gone to the mikvah, and they dance in the vineyards, and many, many marriages are made. So the Gemara said, one second, Mishnah Yom Kippurim. I understand why Yom Kippur is such a happy day. Mishum de isbei slicha umechila. It's the day of forgiveness. Yom shenitnu bo luchos ha'achronos. It's the day when the second set of luchos were given. The first luchos were given to Moshe already, really, I guess, on Shiva Aser B'Tamuz, when Moshe came down. And when he saw the golden calf, he broke them. And then there was killing the sinners and davening for forgiveness and then getting a second set. He came down on Yom Kippur with the second set. So Yom Kippur is the day when Hashem forgives the Jewish people. So the day when he forgives the Jewish people, that's the day to make all these marriages. So my teacher of Moshe Wilson said, why would the day of forgiveness be the day when Chassan should be looking for a Kala? What does one thing have to do with the next? Okay, Hashem forgave us. Very nice. Well, that's the day to go look for a wife. So he suggested, based on an answer, based on a Hasidic story, the Avni Nezer, who was the son-in-law of the Katzke Rebbe, told a story in the name of his father, the Rebbe of Biala, the author of the Agudas Ezov, that after Yom Kippur, when he'd finished Yom Kippur, before he would even eat, he would walk right after Maariv to the Esrog salesman and just take a closed box, which had an Esrog in it. Then he'd go home, make Havdalah, and eat. And then he'd open the box for the first time on Sukkot, and it was always the nicest Esrog in the entire city. So what's Pshat? So the Avni Nezer explained, because Yom Kippur is the day of Slicha Mechila, the day when everything is forgiven. So once everything is forgiven, the person becomes pure, so now he only chooses the right things. All the sins are that we made the wrong choices. But once everything's forgiven on Yom Kippur, the heart in that moment naturally is going to choose the best mitzvah item. Once we start eating, who knows where we're at. But when we're still pure at the end of Yom Kippur, we choose the best item. And so that's why, right away, right after Yom Kippur, when you're still pure, that's when you would choose his Esrog. You didn't have to look at it. Just knew his neshama is going to take him to the right Esrog, because now he's going to choose the right things. So Rav Wolfson says maybe that's also the pshat here with getting married. It can't be a bigger decision than choosing who to marry. Ooh. So therefore, on Yom HaKippurim, the day of Mechilo Slicha, the day of forgiveness, when people are pure, now their neshama will choose the right wife. Their neshama is going to go, they'll see all these different options, the different circles, the beautiful women dancing, and the women with good lineage dancing, and the women with Yirat Shamayim dancing. And what's right for his neshama is going to come out because he's pure on Yom Kippur. It's the day of Mechilo Slicha. That's how Rav Wilson compares it, yes. So, all right, so we understand about Yom Kippur. Now let's talk about the 15th of Av. Ela tesvav ba'av, but the 15th of Av, mayhi. What happened on this day? And it should be the day of so many beautiful marriages. So the Gemara proposes six possibilities. Amar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Yom Shehutru Shvatim Lavo Zebazah. It was the day when the tribes were allowed to marry with each other. Initially, we know that when the daughters of Tzlafchad asked for their father Tzlafchad's land, so they get it. But then the people of Menashe complain. They say, well, if the daughters of Tzlafchad are going to have the land of Tzlafchad, they're going to marry husbands from who knows what tribe. They might marry a husband from Yehuda. They might marry a husband from Yisachar, a husband from Shimon. And we know, in Masechet Bava Basra, we were taught that when a woman dies, her husband inherits her property. And if not her husband, because maybe her husband died first, so he's not there to inherit her property, her son will inherit her property. But her son is not going to be her tribe. L'mishbechosam, l'veis avosam. The verse says, their families are based on their father's household. So the tribe is going to be based on the father. So here, if we have a daughter of Tzlafchad who's from Menashe inheriting his land, and then she marries somebody from Yehuda, so when she dies, either the husband from Yehuda or the son from Yehuda will inherit the land. So now you're going to have people of Yehuda owning land within the territory of Menashe. So Moshe said, okay, what does Hashem ask? What does Hashem want? Hashem said, they're right. People have to marry within their own tribe. But that was only for the first generation. Once the first generation people had married within their own tribe, the people who inherited the land, already for subsequent generations, they could marry into other tribes. So initially, right? Initially, Hashem tells Moshe that if a girl inherits land, she has to marry someone from her father's tribe. And that was only for that first generation that entered Israel. Once all the territories were established, now already the next girl who inherits land, she can marry someone outside of the tribe. She can marry to another tribe. And what day, right? What was the day when Beis Din decided or figured out the pasuk that this only applied for the first generation, doesn't apply anymore, was on the 15th of Av. So my darsh, what was the pasuk that they interpreted? And that pasuk, the day of the interpretation was the 15th of Av. Which verse did they interpret? Pasuk says, Zeh adavar ashitziva Hashem, livnos tzalafcha. This is the matter that Hashem commanded about the daughters of tzalafcha, saying, Zeh adavar, that's saying, davar zeh, this matter, lo yeh noeg, ela bedor zeh, should only be applying to this generation. All right, so that's proposal number one. It's the day when the tribes are allowed to intermarry. Proposal number two, I'm Rav Yosef, I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Yosef said the name Rav Nachman. Yom Shehutu Shevet Binyamin, Lava Bekal. It was the day when the tribe of Benjamin was once again allowed to marry women. In the end of the book of Shoftim, we hear of a terrible, terrible story. There was a Levi who had a woman who wasn't his legal wife. He didn't give her a ksuba. She was not a woman that he had married in the proper way. She was his pilegesh. She was his concubine. And he comes to this place called Giva, and he asks for a place to stay. And they say, well, you could stay here, but the concubine is not welcomed in any of our homes. So he goes into a home, and the concubine is left outside in the street. And then the people of Giva come, and they rape this concubine repeatedly. Each man in Giva, unfortunately, has relations with this concubine. By the end of this terrible night, this concubine is dead. So this man is so hurt by what was done to his concubine, he takes the concubine's dead body and he cuts it up into 12 pieces and he sends one piece to each of the 12 tribes and says, this is what was done to my concubine in Giva in Benjamin. So the tribes gather and they demand the people of Giva. They say, we want to punish them. And the tribe of Benjamin says, no, we'll punish our own. You have no right to judge the people of our tribe. And a civil war ensues. And in the initial battles, the majority does not win, but ultimately they do win. And they basically exterminate almost the entire tribe. Almost everybody in Benjamin is killed. Only a couple of hundred people are left. And initially they make a rule. They say, V'ish Yisrael nishba b'mitzvah lemor, all the men of Israel swore in mitzvah, saying, Ish mimenu, no person from us, lo yitein bito levinyamin li'isha, will not allow his daughter to marry a Benjaminite to be a wife. So that was an initial ruling, but that ruling was removed on the 15th of Av. On the 15th of Av, the tribes once again allowed some of their daughters to marry the survivors of Benjamin, and the tribe of Benjamin began to grow again, and it was saved from extinction. My darsh, so what was the interpretation to allow again marriages with Benjamin? Amar Rav, Rav said, the verse said, Mimenu, they said we had made an oath, Mimenu, from us, but Velomi Benenu, it doesn't apply to our children. So that's proposal number two. It was the time when the tribe of Benjamin was allowed back into the community. Proposal number three. Rabbi Bar Bar Hanam Rabbi Yochanan said, Yom Shekalu Bo Meisei Midbar. It's the day when the generation that had left Egypt and that had participated in the sin of the spies, by believing them and crying, and they were supposed to die over 40 years, they stopped dying on this day. Rashi explains here, the time we lived in Abraisa, for the 40 years that they were in the desert, every Erev Tisha B'Av, there was a announcement that was made, go out and dig. So everybody would go out of the camp, and they would dig a grave, and everybody would lay down in a grave. Maybe they would die. The next day, there would be another announcement saying, okay, those who are living, get up. So those who were alive would get up out of the grave, and those who were supposed to die that year, that was it. They had died that night on Tisha B'Av, the night when they had cried for the acceptance of the words of the spies. On the 40th year, again, they did it. They went and they dug graves, they laid down there, and then when the announcement was, all who are living, get up, everybody got up. So then they said, I understand. We all got up. Nobody's dying. Maybe it's not Tisha B'Av. Maybe our calendar's off. So they went to, and they laid down there in the graves the next night also. Maybe the next night really was Tisha B'Av. They kept doing this till the 15th of Av. Now on the 15th of Av, it's a full moon. It's the middle of the month. So once it was a full moon, and nobody's dying, they knew, apparently, it is the 15th. Where it's not that we have the wrong date, but Hashem has stopped killing us, and we are no longer dying. That's what Rashi says. So this decree stopped. Now, look at the Tosfos here. Yom Shekolu Bomese Midbar, the day when the dead of the desert stopped. Kedarmina, as the Gemara, as we say, Tosfos says in the Medrash of Eicha, called Tisha B'Av Ayosim Kivreim. Every Tisha B'Av they would make graves for themselves. Bishochan Besochan, they would lay down in them. Lamachan, the next morning, Akruz Yotze, the proclamation would come out. He Badlu HaChayim, living ones separate from those who are dead. Osashan, on that year, Shekol Sagzero, when the decree stopped, Kamukulam, they all got up. Vayisurim, then they thought, all right, Shema Tov B'chodesh, maybe we're on the wrong date within the month. Acharal of Anulmalea, then they saw that the moon was full. Vaz Yadu, then they realized, Shekol Sagzero, the decree had stopped. Vasu Yom Tov. And they made a great holiday. Upirish Rashbam, we have a similar Gemara about two Bav and Baba Basa. The Rashbam explains, Kolamem Shana lo yumesim, Elabat Tisha B'Av. 40 years, people would only die in Tisha B'Av. Uvachol Tisha B'Av, Vayumesim, Chaf Aleph Elef, Uprutrut. Every Tisha B'Av, 21,000 and a little bit more would die. Mafare Shasam, the Oso Prutrut, Olo Lemem Shanim, Tesvav Elef. And he explains there that that little amount more over 40 years equaled 15,000. Yesh Mefarshim, Tosa, some explain, Shayu Mesim B'Chol Yom, that there were people dying every day, Achrov HaMesim Hayu La'olam, V'Tisha B'Av. That most of those dying were on Tisha B'Av. However, V'Chamish Asher B'Av, on the 15th of Av, Pascha Gzeira, the decree stopped, V'Lomesu Klal, people stopped dying, V'Asu Yom Tov, and they made a holiday of it. So, that's the third possibility. This is the day when tribes could remarry, could marry with each other. This is the day when the tribe of Benjamin was allowed back in. This is the day when the sinners who had been part of the sin of the spies stopped dying. Yeah, question?
No, you know, why they put a division amongst the Jewish people and they put tribes and intermarriage and it's like...
So I think that the role of tribes is that there are different paths, different gates to the Beis HaMikdash, different gates in the Yushalayim Shalmalon, the Yushalayim of Heaven, and different paths of how to get to Hashem, and different areas of emphasis. That's really the theme of this week's Parsha, when Yaakov Avinu gives different blessings to different sons. He's giving different missions, different tasks. So, say the tribe of Levi, Yoru Mishpatech Yaakov. They have the mission of learning the Torah and teaching the Torah to the Jewish people. The tribe of Yehuda have the job of being leaders. The tribe of Gad to be soldiers. The tribe of Zvulun to be merchant marines, to be traveling on the seas and buying things and selling things and living on the coast. The tribe of Asher to grow olives, and the tribe of Naphtali to grow wheat. You know, every tribe has its mission. So yeah, there has to be different tribes, different tasks, different roles to play within the entirety of the Jewish nation.
But the thing is that it's like they call it like intermarriage. It was like you are marrying a going, you know, from one tribe.
You had to stay within your tribe, but only for one generation. It was only for one generation. After that, it was removed to establish things in a certain way. The Mekubalim say that the different nuschaos of tefillah are based on the different tribes. Let's say we have primarily two nuschaos, Nusach Ashkenaz, Nusach Sfard, because the Hasidim really are Nusach Sfard, based on the Ari HaKadosh. And they say those are the two tribes that were left, Yehuda and Binyamin. Maybe when we get to Mashiach Zidkenu, you have the other 10 tribes back, hopefully. We'll get 12 Nuschaos HaTefillah. There's a Hashem.
Well,
the Ari is the Shara Kolel. He's the.
Yeah, but
for those who don't know what tribe they're in.
But you know what? The saying of Shara Kolel also says, it's part of Tefillah goes through all the 12 kings. And therefore, he chose.
That's the best one.
Yeah, that's
the best one. So you have the famous tshuva, the Chassam Sofer, where the Chassam Sofer says they're both good. Ashkenaz is good, Sfard is good. He said, well, why the Ari HaKadosh put all of his meditations in the Nusach Sfard? Because he was Sfardi. So he was Sfardi. That's what he was. That was the Minhag. So that's what he put the Kavanos into.
To actually pronounce the words the right way, because he felt that his davening is imperfect. The eye, the head,
right, right, yeah, for sure. I think they say that the Brisker Rav also asked the Yemenite to teach him how to pronounce the ayin versus the aleph and the ches and the gimels and the th.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. No, well, listen, we'll get into all the letters very soon. Andaf gimel,
mansepecha. Underperformed, and
right, that's also true. That's true. That's very true. Given to Yehuda.
Yehuda came out of nowhere and showed leadership.
Given to Yosef and
David. But there was no Ashkenaz or Sephardic those days. It was like different tribes. But
well, maybe the different tribes are the differences between Ashkenaz and Sfar. That's what some of Kabbalah teach.
From there.
Maybe
he did. Iraq was Syria.
Originally, everybody was Sephardi. Yeah. That's how it starts, right? Avraham Avinu was from Syria, from Iraq.
Yaakov was the first Jew.
Or it was always rice or no rice.
No rice, no rice.
But it better be rice.
No. Rice is overrated.
So again, Amar Rabba Bar Barchana, the third explanation. Rabba Barchana says, what's so special about Tuba Av in the name of Rabbi Yochanan? Yom Shekalu Bo Mesei Midbar. That's the day when the dead of the desert, namely the people who had believed the spies, stopped dying. Amar Mar, as we've learned, Achlo Kalu Mesei Midbar, Lo Hayadibur Moshe, until all that generation died out, Hashem wasn't talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. Shanem, as it says, Vayikasher Tamu, Kol Anshei HaMilchama Lamus, it was when all the people of that war finished dying. And then, Vayadabra Hashem Eli, then Hashem spoke to me, namely Eli Hayadibur. The speech was dedicated to me. So Rashi has two explanations here. Of course, Hashem spoke to Moshe beforehand too, but rather, to speak, you know, in a certain private way, with yichud, with dedication, that was only, with devotion only to Moshe, that was only after they all died out, or to speak to him face to face, not to have it very clear. That was only once they all died out. So once they all died out, and now Hashem was talking directly to Moshe, that made it into a great holiday. Opinion number four. Ula said a fourth opinion. Why is the 15th of Av a great holiday? Yom Shebitel Hoshea ben Allah Prosdio Shehoshevi Rav Menevat Ladrachim. It was the day when Hoshea ben Allah stopped and removed all the guards that Yeravam ben Nevat had put on the roads. Hoshea ben Allah was a king of the northern kingdom. So Yeravam ben Nevat, he was the founder of the northern kingdom. He was upset that Rehavam was planning to make the Jews pay taxes and work hard to build further buildings after Shlomo HaMelech's rule. So Yeravam ben Nevat goes to Shechem, and in Shechem he leads a revolt, and a schism ensues, and they make a new kingdom, the kingdom of the 10 tribes, away from the two tribes of Yehuda and Binyamin. So originally the 10 tribes would go up to the Beis HaMikdash, but then Yeravam ben Nevat became resentful. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, only the descendants of David HaMelech are allowed to sit in the Azara. So here, he's the king over more Jews than Rechavam is. He's the king over 10 tribes. Rechavam's only king over 2 tribes. And yet when he comes to the Beis HaMikdash for Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, Rechavam is sitting. And he has to stand. So he said, nobody Nobody can go up to Ali al-Reklam. He put guards to prevent people from going. So when Hoshea ben Allah became king, he removed those guards. So when did he remove those guards? Probably it was on the 15th of Av. The 15th of Av becomes a holiday. Bamar. And he said, Le'ezesh, a year or two. Anyone who wants, Yalu can go up to Yerushalayim. So Rashi points out here, he wasn't a good guy. Hoshea ben Allah was a Rasha. But he did this one good thing, which he let people go back to Yerushalayim. So for that already...
Nobody was left anyway back then.
What's that?
Nobody was left already. It's like...
Yep. End. So for that reason...
Sure showed up a couple of months later.
For that reason, it's the 15th of Av. Rav Masna Amar, Rav Masna said... Fifth explanation why the 15th of Av is such a holiday. Yom Shenitnu Haruge Beitar Likvura. It was the day when the dead of Beitar were allowed to be buried. This is already after. Until now we were talking about the times of the judges, the times of the first temple. Now we're talking about after the second temple. The second temple was destroyed in the year 70. And in the year 123, 53 years after the loss of the second temple, I believe it was the year 123, Bar Kokhba starts a revolt. The revolt only lasts for 3 years. During this revolt, the Jews declare independence of Rome, and they seek to throw the Romans out, and ultimately to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, like what the Hashmonaim did. Rabbi Akiva thought it was a great thing. Rabbi Akiva thought that Bar Kokhba was Mashiach, and he thought this was the redemption. This was the third Beis HaMikdash coming. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. Bar Kokhba ends up getting killed. And the final stand of Bar Kokhba, his Alamo, was Beitar. He fights in Beitar. And in Beitar, the Romans destroy the city. And they kill all the people of Beitar. And they leave the dead of Beitar out out exposed to the elements for years. And we know there was a great miracle that the Romans finally gave permission to bury the dead of Beitar. So that day was the 15th of Av. It was Yom Shenitnu Haruge Beitar Lekvur. It was the day where the dead of Beitar were allowed to be buried. That's the day that Tiknu B'Yavna Tova Ametiv. That was the day that in Yavna, where the Sanhedrin was, they established to add another blessing to the benching, thanking God who's good and who does good. Hatov, the good, Shalo, Yisrihu. Hatov is to thank him that the dead didn't decompose. Ametiv, and who does good, Shanit Lekvura, that they were allowed to be buried. So that's already the fifth reason, right? We've had five possible explanations for the specialness of the 15th of Av. It's when the tribes in the days of Yoshua were allowed to intermarry. It's when the tribes allowed marriages with the people of Binyamin at the very end of the book of Shoftim. It's the time when the dead of the desert stopped dying. It's the time when Hoshea ben Allah removed the guards, preventing people from going to Yerushalayim. Or fifth, it's the time when the dead of Beitar were allowed to be buried, and the blessing of Atov HaMetiv was added to the benching. Rabbi Rav Yosef Dami Tarvayu, Rabbi Rav Yosef gave a sixth answer. It's Yom Shepasku Milichros Eitzim Lamaracha. It's the day when they stop cutting wood for the fires of the Mizbeach. So Rashi explains that the season changes on the 15th of Av. It becomes more cool, more moist, and then there's a worry that there might be worms in the wood, and you can't use wormy wood for the Mizbeach. So this is when they would finish the mitzvah of cutting the wood. So that's this is the source for the idea of making a siyum. The source for making a siyum is this Gemara, because what's going on is that they're finishing a mitzvah. They're finishing the mitzvah of cutting the wood, and the Gemara says this becomes a huge holiday. You can't get a bigger holiday than the holiday of the 15th of Av. What's the holiday? That they finished the mitzvah preparing the wood. So the same is true with the siyum. When you finish the mitzvah of Masech the Tanis or Masech the Megillah, so make a big holiday. Rabbi Elazar HaGadol Omer, Rabbi Elazar HaGadol says, Mechamish Asar Ba'av, from the 15th of Av, Ve'elach and on, Tashash Kocha Sholchama. The strength of the sun is weakened. Then they would no longer cut down wood for the fire of the Mizbeach. The fish and yevation, because the wood is not going to be dry. Amr of Menashe, Rav Menashe said, the 15th of Av is therefore called the Karele Yom Tavar Magal, the day of breaking the axe, because we used to use an axe to cut down the wood. Now we break the axes, we don't need it anymore. So now, Mikan Ve'elach, from the 15th and Av and on, the nights get longer. So Demosif, if you add more time to your learning of Torah, Yosef, you'll have more years added to your life. With the low Mosif, and if you don't take advantage of that extra time to add more time to the learning of Torah, then unfortunately, Ye'asef. So what does it mean, my Ye'asef? I mean, he'll be gathered in. Amrav Yosef Tikbere Ime, his mother will bury him. In other words, he'll die young. If he doesn't take advantage of the extra time, he's going to lose time. He'll unfortunately pass away. All right, going back to the Mishnah. Mishnah said, Shebehemenos Yishalayim Yotzos. That's when the girls of Jerusalem would go out and dance in the vineyards. Bas Melech, Sho'eles Mibas Kohen Gadol. The daughter of a king would borrow a white garment from the daughter of the Kohen Gadol. Bas Kohen Gadol Mibas Sagan, the daughter of the Kohen Gadol would borrow from the assistant of the Kohen Gadol. Bas Kan Mibas Kohen Meshulach Mechama, the daughter of the assistant of the Kohen Gadol would borrow from the Kohen who's appointed to inspire the people when they go to war. Bas Meshulach Melchama, the daughter of the one who is anointed for war, would borrow a Bas Kohen Hedjot from the daughter of a regular Kohen. L'chol Yisrael Sholim Zemizel, all the other Jews would borrow from each other. Deshlo Yisvayish Nisha'im Lo, to not embarrass those who don't have. Kol HaKeim Tud and Tvila, all the garments would have to go to the mikvah. Rav Elazar, Filu Mekupal Munach Mekufs, even if they were folded and still in the box, you have to go into the mikvah. Benos Yisrael, Yotz V'chos from Bekramim, the girls go out and they dance in the vineyards. Tanu Lincoln and Raisa. Mishaim lo isha nifshon l'sham. Those who don't have a wife would go there. Miuchasus shabehena yomros. Right, the miuchasus would say, you know, look at the family. Tanu Avadim look at a rice that explains what the Mishnah means. Yafyafyos shabehena, the beautiful ones. My yomros, what would they say? Kumeinechon liyofi. Look to the beauty. Sheina isha liyofi. A wife is only for beauty. Miuchasus shabehena. Those who have a good yichus would say, my yomros kumeinechon l'mishpacha. Put your eyes to the family. Sheina isha levanim, because a woman is only for children. Those who are ugly would say, "My omros kum mekchem l'shum shamayim, make your acquisition for the sake of heaven." Ubil vach tatun bezufim, as long as you make us beautiful with golden jewelry. Amar ula bira, Amar belazer ula bira, and then rebelazer. Asad hakadosh baruch hu lasses machul tzadikim. The same way there was a round circle of the girls dancing on Tu B'Av, God's going to make a big round circle for the tzadikim. With Yosef b'nei, he's going to sit in the midst. Everyone's going to point with his finger. As it says, they'll say on that day, behold, this is our God. We had our hope in him. He saved us. This is Hashem. Our hope was in him. Yeshua. So, as Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin explains, in a circle, every point is equidistant from the center. When we get to the times of Mashiach, we'll see that all the tzaddikim were equidistant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hajan Allah, Ben Sashem Yisbarach, B'Shlosh HaPrakim, U'Slikala, Meseches Tanit.